Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply. From Wondery.
How you doing tonight, Aaron?
Good, Justin. How are you?
I am okay.
I just got back from LA. I do a guest spot on the First Degree podcast that has Billy Jensen on it. Some of you may know him from the TV shows, Alexis and Jack. It's a really amazing show. And if anyone was interested in my personal story with the Crystal Kipper case, you definitely need to go check out The First Degree. They just released the episode this week.
We've gotten some really good emails lately. Justin and I have both grown as people, I would say, by doing this show. We've learned things by researching these cases and hearing these stories from these families and these people who have gone through essentially hell. Some of those cases involve what we nowadays term hate, which is very relevant to tonight's case.
I guess that the media likes to focus on these things because they like to spoon feed us what they find is important. I just recently saw the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but there is a twist. It's sort of interesting to me that when predators, when criminals choose their victims, they always choose the vulnerable. They always choose somebody that's weaker than them. And in the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's kind of a reimagining of what if they chose the wrong house?
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
This case sucks because these hate groups definitely target people that can't fight back, are smaller, are not as strong as them. So what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Tonight we're talking about the murder of Blaze Bernstein at the hands of a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, a guy named Sam Woodward. He's the perpetrator in this story, but we don't want to talk about him right now. Let's talk about Blaze.
Gideon Bernstein and Jeannie Pepper were Blaze Bernstein's parents. They originally met at the University of California, Santa Barbara. That was back in 1987. They later married in Los Angeles in 1992. Gideon was working at Chartered Financial Leisure Capital Management. Gideon Bernstein's mother, Lee Bernstein, was born in Romania in 1936. She was a Holocaust survivor. Gideon's wife, Jeannie, went to Pepperdine School of Law. She got her law degree in 1995, and she had a litigation practice until around 2000, when she decided to be a stay-at-home mother for Blaze. Blaze Nathan Bernstein was born April 27, 1998. He didn't know this for many years, but he was named primarily after Blaise Pascal, who was a French mathematician, physicist, inventor, writer, and theologian. I find this interesting, and it seems like the perfect name for him because, as we'll get into later, Blaze had a lot of interests and a lot of talents.
It was almost a foreshadowing of his educational success and where he was going in life.
Blaze's parents did have two other children. They were younger than Blaze, Jay and Beau. Blaze graduated from a prestigious school, Orange County School of Arts in Santa Ana, California. In his sophomore year at the University of Pennsylvania in 2018, he was, I guess, exploring his interests, which included psychology, biochemistry, poetry, activism, writing about food. And he was the managing editor of Pen Appetit, the school's culinary magazine.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when you read about his life, he was definitely staying busy.
Obviously, he was a very sharp kid. He had a sense of humor, and he was very generous, very gentle with people. They say he was a Renaissance man. His friends said he was very unique. And he made you feel important. If you were talking to him, he was actually listening to you and conversing with you. Since he had so many different interests, like cooking, music, and whatnot, it was always an interesting conversation with him. Blaze's rabbi at the synagogue spoke very highly of him. He said he was one of the nicest members of the congregation.
We talk about how people remembered Blaze Bernstein because he is no longer with us. This is a very recent case.
Yes, it is. We don't typically cover these cases, but people always ask us to talk about current events. And normally we like to have all the information up front. We like to have all of the trial transcripts, all the police reports, autopsy reports. Anything and everything we can get our hands on so we can deliver pertinent, useful information during the podcast. And it's really hard to do that when it's a current event, a current case, although we felt this one was pretty important.
This went down January 2nd, 2018. At the time, Blaze Bernstein was 19 years old. He was 5'8" and 135 pounds. The other person in this case is Samuel Lincoln Woodward. He was 20, 6'2" and 185 pounds.
Much larger.
Blaze had come home for the 2017-2018 winter break. He left home on Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018, but didn't tell his parents where he was going. So when Blaze didn't show up for an appointment the next day, they knew something was wrong because he's not the type of guy to miss appointments.
And he had a flight back home too, so that's pretty important.
So they tried reaching out to him. They were texting, they were calling, but not getting an answer. His parents ended up leaving work. They came home. They wanted to figure out what was going on because they were worried. They had a bad feeling.
He's a very responsible guy and communicates very well, letting everyone know where he's at. The fact that he didn't let his parents know where he was going that night, I guess we can semi-speculate that either A, he was going out to party, possibly drink, something like that, or B, he was going to meet a guy because Blaze happens to be gay.
His parents went through Blaze's room. They did find some information. They found that he had given his home address to another guy by the name of Sam Woodward.
Sam is somebody that he knew from high school. They had classes together. I don't know if I would call him a friend, but it was somebody that he was familiar with.
Yeah, probably more like an acquaintance. His parents, though, they had never heard of him before.
And I don't think Blaze knew who Sam had become after high school either.
Blaze's parents reported him missing to the Orange County Sheriff's Department. What do we know about Sam Woodward?
Well, I know in high school, he was a bit of a loner. He wasn't very popular. Other students said that he was very standoffish. He would draw pictures of the apocalypse and death. And he wasn't exactly, you know, a dark and gloomy goth kid. He was an angry kid. So not a lot of friends, huh?
So detectives were looking for Sam Woodward. That was the best lead at the time to figure out where Blaze was or what had happened to him. They were able to locate him. They brought him in for questioning. Sam said, "I picked Blaze up from the Bernstein home on the evening of January 2nd. So mystery solved, right? He's saying, "Yeah, I was with him. I picked him up."
He was the last person to be seen with him and be with him. He's admitting to it.
And he said that they drove to a Hobby Lobby parking lot and they were just going to talk because they hadn't talked in a long time. They knew each other from school, but it had been a while. And Sam said that Blaze complained about school and his grades and, according to him, seemed depressed, but never said anything about wanting to hurt himself. What is he saying there?
It's obvious that he's already trying to set something up, whether it be an alternate theory to what has happened or whatnot. Where do they go after they leave Hobby Lobby?
According to Sam, Blaze tells him that they're going to go meet up with another friend from high school at Borrego Park, which was not too far from Blaze's house. When they get to the park, it's a little before midnight. Sam said that Blaze kissed him on the lips.
I'm not sure if this would have been a welcome action to Sam, but this is where we can come in and say, was Sam acting like he was into this? Is Sam lying about the whole incident? Or was Sam actually there to meet Blaze to hook up? Those are the options.
According to Sam, he didn't like that, and so he shoved Blaze away from him, and he said he was disgusted by it. He said that's when Blaze got out of the car and walked away.
So this is interesting that Samuel would meet Blaze, who is fairly outspoken about being gay and is Jewish. Yet Sam's going to meet him, go to a park together, talk about an argument he's in. These things won't line up once we reveal a little bit more about Sam. There's inconsistencies here.
Well, Sam said he waited in his car for about an hour and was trying to reach out to Blaze via social media app. Around 1 a.m., he said he drove away and went to his girlfriend's house. He later returned to Brago Park at 3:40 in the morning. I guess he thought that maybe Blaze would still be in the park, but he wasn't, according to him. So it's just weird that supposedly Blaze makes a move on him and he doesn't like it, and yet he's concerned for him.
Investigators also notice that he has scratches and abrasions on his hands. They ask him, what are those from? Because we have a missing person. You're the last person to be seen with him, and then you have marks as if you've been in an altercation. He says he was part of a fight club, which, wow, really? How original. They notice dirt under his fingernails. He says that he fell into a dirty puddle during the fight. You didn't mention the fight club all night long. You only mentioned being with Blaze. Where is this coming from? So it's obvious he's been in a physical altercation recently. So investigators really are looking at him. Samuel happened to have a rental car that day. It's kind of weird. Why would you just have a rental car that day?
Well, what else doesn't make sense is, so they notice his hands when he returns to the park on January 4th while it's being searched. And it's there they also ask to look in his car. What is he doing there?
He's helping.
Yeah, he's helping someone, yeah. Maybe. But why are his hands in the condition they're in? Inside of his rental car, they found hiking and camping equipment. They also found a plastic bin and a black belt. They looked it over and they thought, this car looks like it's been cleaned. Most cars, you can see, I mean, there's some dirt, there's some stuff left in the car, wrappers, who knows what in the car. This car has been cleaned. But it is a rental car, so in my mind, that's not that crazy, because whenever I've had a rental car, I try to take really good care of it, because I know when you return it,
you're going to get charged. Yeah.
Yeah, they might take that deposit.
The investigators question him further. They ask where his girlfriend lives, what her name is. He says he doesn't know or remember her last name.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what most guys say is, oh, I have a girlfriend in Europe or somewhere else, when they really don't have one.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he does not have a girlfriend.
Investigators find their first lie in his statement.
Well, not only that, but he does something that's, I guess, suggestive that he's their suspect, because instead of just opening doors, he pulls his jacket down to where he doesn't have to touch the doors with his hands.
He does this in front of the investigators.
Yes.
That's not a red flag at all.
So a search and rescue team is put together. 25 deputies and police, canine dogs, search the park for signs of Blaze. They also have helicopter and drone passovers. Outside of the park, there were volunteers distributing flyers around the area, and they're just asking, hey, have you seen Blaze? A week later, they still hadn't found him. January 9th, weather came through. Blaze's body, his remains, were exposed in a shallow grave due to the rain.
So his body's now discovered. They're able to find his cause of death. He had been stabbed in the face over 19 times.
Yeah, on one side 14 times, and on the other side 5.
So we're back to who was the last person to be seen with him, who's lying through his teeth and says that he didn't appreciate the advances on him. Well, we're back to Samuel. This is such a no-brainer. It's so dumb to me that this guy would even try to act like he wasn't the perpetrator, because it's just so obvious now.
I believe it was on January 10th when, around 6 p.m., more than 300 people attended a candlelight vigil for Blaze Bernstein at Borrego Park. they held it right by where he had been found.
This discovery of his body has now ramped up the investigators' focus on Samuel. They get search warrants to check his car and his home, and they find multiple knives. One knife is in his bedroom and has blood stains on it. The blood will later match Blaze. They also found blood under his watch, on the visor of the car, and all over a sleeping bag. All of the blood matched Blaze.
Samuel Woodward is arrested on Friday, January 12th, around 1 in the afternoon. He had been walking out of his home in Newport Beach. Obviously, they're going to hold him without bond. This is a violent murder. At this point, investigators have little doubt that he's Blaze Bernstein's killer.
Samuel is charged with one count of felony murder with a sentence enhancement of personal use of a knife. He's facing 26 years to life in prison. Police are looking into the possibility that Blaze's murder was a hate crime. Samuel had said, oh, he came on to me. It was unwelcome, blah, blah, blah. But what Blaze and a lot of people didn't know about Samuel is after high school, he had fallen into a neo-Nazi white supremacist group. I guess they actually call themselves Nazis, not neo-Nazis, but I'm not really going to care too much about the way they identify. This group is called Adam Waffen. They have a really crummy website that looks like it was made in the late 90s with dead journal plugins, maybe made on Angel Fire with really crappy clip art. I mean, if you want to see a good website, I would go out to blazebernstein.org. These people actually know how to make a website that looks good, it's slick, and it's got a lot of useful information as opposed to this other website. Adam Waffen. They celebrate Hitler and Charles Manson. They aim to use terrorism and guerrilla warfare to overthrow the U.S. government. How many people are in this group, Aaron?
It's difficult to say. They say that there could be between 80 and 100 members worldwide. They've done hate camps every year since 2017, I believe. And at each of these camps, they've had 10 individuals attending.
I don't think they're overthrowing the government.
Well, see, they're training, and I think they're looking to grow, but their aim is to be ready for the race war and to create a white Aryan utopia in America, of course.
They actually go one step farther than, say, the regular alt-right political groups and whatnot. They are all about violence, and they are a violent group, but for the most part, they just talk in message forms online, whether it be Discord or 4chan. They're keyboard warriors that talk a lot of smack. I interpret them as a bunch of lone wolf people who try to egg each other on to do something.
Well, there is a minority within that group that are training hand-to-hand combat and training with weapons, probably survival tactics. One of their missions is to live out in no man's land around, you know, the country, around the world, so that they can move in and attack targets, then go back out in the middle of nowhere as if that's going to protect them. Anyway, for many of the members, it could just be some sort of fantasy. This could be an extreme form of D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, where people get together and talk about stuff that's not real, but they're living it. The only trouble with this is that when you talk about violence and you accept that there are people who are not on your level, that are not human because of their race or sexual orientation or religion or whatever, are not on your level and need to be wiped out, some people in your group are really going to act on it. And that's where Samuel Woodward, he used to be just an angry, violent person in his mind, has now maybe found a purpose. And so why was he hanging out with Blaze? Maybe it's because all that stuff in his head had to come out. And he took it out on one person he knew fit the bill, which was a gay Jewish kid by the name of Blaze Bernstein, who he knew from high school.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails, feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Other friends of Samuel say that he was as anti-Semitic as you can get, and homophobic, and racist, and sexist. So why is he hanging out with Blaze again? Oh, he was targeting Blaze. But it was a crime of opportunity when they started talking online and Blaze sent the address to him. And I don't think Blaze would have been so willing to talk to Samuel if he had known the monster that he had become.
Well, detectives did locate a lot of evidence in Samuel's phone, computer, you name it. They saw all the racism. They saw the Nazi stuff. So for them, this case only gets tighter and tighter. That's what happens here. The other question, though, is so they have the early charges, but as they go on, they start trying to figure out, wait, if he targeted him because he was gay, then that could be a whole other thing. Because, you know, when you charge someone, you also have to think about the sentencing. In some states, they might say, well, we want the death penalty because this crime is too horrible.
Well, with the hate crime modifications, you can add on years and years, decades, or you can add on capital punishment.
But that's going to come up a bit later. In the meantime, February 1st, 2018, Samuel pleaded not guilty to the murder charge. He was held on $5 million bail and had to deal with GPS monitoring, a curfew. There was a protective order so that if he was released on bond, that he was not permitted to go anywhere near the Bernsteins. Now, his attorney tried to go to bat for him, as he's supposed to, and said, hey, he fully cooperated with the police when he was asked to speak with them. He was always there to talk with them. He spoke willingly. So I think he should lower the bail amount so that he has a chance to get out. The prosecutors said, you're not taking into account this other stuff that happened, like Sam dyeing his hair. And he tried to duck the surveillance before he was arrested. So they're like, this guy's a flight risk.
And he'd been lying through his teeth, obviously, to the investigators. He wasn't cooperating. He wasn't communicating with investigators. He was lying to them.
Yeah, the cooperating part was oversimplified. Yes, he was speaking, and yes, he was present to speak with them, but he wasn't really cooperating. It was later in February that his parents, who had been, I wouldn't call it harassed, but maybe, I mean, the media was asking for them to make statements. They decided to come out with a way to remember their son and to bring good into the world.
They've formed an organization called Blaze It Forward that's all about spreading positivity and not even calling out or shouting down hate, but trying to meet hate with love. And that's their whole goal. I hope I'm doing them justice. I know they're probably going to be listening. They're all about spreading love, and I really like that message. I know there are groups out there like Antifa, a violent left-wing group who goes after the violent Nazi white supremacist groups. I've been talking with an ex-neo-Nazi for a future episode on my Peripheral podcast who says nobody could beat the Nazi out of me, essentially saying it took love and understanding and somebody reaching out to me and showing me some sort of sympathy for him to lose that mindset. This is what Blaze It Forward is all about. It's like Pay It Forward, if you know that book and that movie. It's somebody does a good deed for you, you repay by paying it forward, doing a good deed for somebody else.
Blaze's mother really seemed to focus on that she didn't want to think about revenge. She didn't want to think about hate. She wanted everything to be positive because they're suffering enough. Being hateful, being angry, it's not going to help. I think there's a lesson to be learned. We already know that when you can forgive, and it's not for the other person, but when you can forgive or when you can focus on the positive, you're helping yourself. Because as we saw with Sam Woodward, when you're angry, bad things happen.
He's an angry kid who's probably already on a bad path. I mean, he dropped out of college and wasn't doing very well. And then to fall in with a hate group like this, he can be easily manipulated and influenced. This isn't that different from any street gang. You know, when you have youth that can be influenced, that don't feel they have a home or family or anyone, any support in their life, they're going to find it. They're going to find it somewhere.
Yeah, everyone's looking for a way to belong. And if the only people you belong to are other angry, racist people, well, now you have a home. So, of course, I had talked about how they found evidence of racism, of hate, of Nazi symbolism and ideas on his computer, on his phone. Well, that's when the Orange County District Attorney added a hate crime sentencing enhancement to the murder charge. And really what this is they want to make sure that if they can get him convicted, that he's not released because he's obviously a dangerous individual.
Absolutely.
Going through his electronics, they're able to figure out that it was in July of 2017 when Sam and Blaze ran into each other and they talked. So exchanged numbers, and Blaze later sent a text to one of his friends with Sam's photo, and he told him, he said, "We might hook up." And he said, "I bet the sex would be legendary." Sam, on the other hand, had written that he sometimes posed as gay curious to attract other guys. You know, then he would reveal the attraction as a prank. He said, "That's what they deserve." So he obviously has an issue with gay people. And originally, maybe this was just make them feel bad. But obviously, it escalated because Blaze ended up being murdered.
And after that murder, the Discord chat rooms, 4chan chat rooms, and everywhere this group would congregate, they celebrated. They all praised him. And just shows what cowards they really are, because they won't come out from behind their keyboard. They won't admit who they are. They won't show their faces. I want to clarify that I'm not trying to blast 4chan or Discord. I mean, we have a Discord group. I've spent time out on 4chan myself. Those programs, those websites aren't the problem. It's just they happen to be where some of these groups will meet and discuss. So I'm not trying to blast and put blame on those things. It's very much falls on the people involved here. And Samuel's 40 pounds larger than Blaze. Blaze is 130 pounds soaking wet. Like, this is something to celebrate. Blaze had a life. Blaze had a future. Blaze is somebody that I would have liked to have met. I don't want to meet any of these guys and Adam Wolfen or whatever they're called. And isn't their leader like a pedophile or something?
No, well, the founder of Adam Wolfen, he was influenced by James Mason, who was an American neo-Nazi. And it seemed as though he sort of operated on his own for a lot of the time. He wrote something called Siege, which is a series of writings that, it's Nazi stuff. So we don't need to go through it. It's just a bunch of crap. But for people who are angry and racist, it gives them like a manifesto. I imagine that James Mason, who is a known pedophile, it gives him some self-importance. Like, oh, wow, all these years later, now I've got all these young guys in their 20s looking up to me as if I'm an icon. I'm up there with Charles Manson and, you know, Adolf Hitler for them.
Being that he's a pedophile, it just shows how they target the vulnerable. They target people who can't fight back.
It is believed, and this, you know, a lot of information that you can find on the Adam Wolfen group was published by ProPublica, and they did what seems to be extensive investigation into the group. They seem to believe that Sam Woodward joined Adam Wolfen perhaps in early 2016, and they think that he was a key member of the organization's Emerging California cell. Now, key member, I mean, Adam Wolfen seems to be these loose little groups in different states and in different countries. So it's sort of like, hey, we're going to be this chapter in this area, and I guess I'll help run it or however that works. But it's all very loose.
Key member is definitely relative here, because maybe he's one of five people in all of California. So all of them are going to be key members, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you read about the group, you know, the founder, Brandon Russell, and they don't like to make announcements really, but he made an announcement in 2015 or so stating that they had 40 members and they were growing. And what else do you need to know? It's a hate group who aren't really going anywhere. Tires spinning in the mud probably is the best way to describe it. But if you're, you know, it's like anything else. If you're happy, you don't get involved in stuff like this.
I've never really read any manifesto from any hate group, any mass shooter, but I actually took the time to read the manifesto of the El Paso guy. And I know this is off topic, but I did learn some things of the thought process of a hate group, the perceptions of disenfranchised youth that doesn't feel they're being heard. I also saw how distorted the reality is that they live in. And much like any hate group, it's all confirmation bias and cherry picking of facts to justify their belief system and justify their actions. I think the only way to counter it is to prove them wrong. Because if you attack them, you have now made them martyrs. You've now given them this victimhood, this oppression, and it only emboldens them more.
There is some concern with this group because under the original guy, under Brandon Russell, it was sort of just, it seemed like it was mostly fantasy. And I say that because now under the new leadership, this group is more or less trying to become a real entity with a more vocal leadership. And, you know, with these training camps. And another creepy part about this group is the people who are in charge have some horrific nicknames that they go by, pseudonyms. And to give you an idea, the guy that leads it now, and I think he's the guy from El Paso, I believe, his pseudonym is Rape.
Wow. They sound like an ISIS cell.
No, there have been other deaths attributed to members of this group, other murders, but I think there have been about a handful. But none have gotten them the notoriety that Sam Woodward's murder of Blaze Bernstein has gotten them. And so it's almost like this is new territory where now they have all this notoriety coming out, but then I don't even know if they know what they want to do with it yet, other than there's a little bit of, oh, good for Sam, and he's a Jew wrecking machine and whatever else they're congratulating him on. But I mean, it's not like they've come out and made all these announcements like, oh, we're going to do more of this or anything like that. They're still struggling with, they kind of want to be underground. And it's because they know that the more the government starts to look at them, the more likely it is that they'll be coming after them.
Yeah. I just think of the laws that, you know, you can be an accessory to murder for a lot of different reasons. I even consider the girlfriend of the boy who is charged with encouraging him to take his own life. Well, they were able to go after her. Well, I bet if they pulled the chat logs of this group, they could go after a lot of these other members.
And the chat logs are available. That ProPublica website, they've done a lot of research into this, and they have chat logs. They know what has been said. I mean, the way I look at it is this group is essentially a terrorist group in the making, if not already. And that will put it on, you know, in the sights of our government, who will take them seriously. And if they feel they need to do something about it, they will.
Okay, so let's get back to the trial. What kind of defense can they mount for Samuel? Are they able to label this as a hate crime?
Woodward's attorney, he wasn't happy about this additional enhancement to the murder charge. And he tried to fight it by saying, hey, he kept this stuff to himself. This was on his personal computer. He's not out there promoting it. This is like a secret thing. Why bring it? That to me sounds stupid, honestly, because what goes on in someone's head can manifest itself in our reality. And that's all that's important, is that it manifested itself. So if he killed someone because they were gay or Jewish, then I don't care whether they were keeping it a secret till then or not. It's real.
I mean, we look at murderers and serial killers who have footage and have documented their murders. Well, they kept it private, so I guess we got to give them a pass, right?
According to Edward Munoz, I guess so. He also tries to fight this by saying that Samuel is on the autism spectrum and has struggled with his own sexuality, that he had trouble fitting in, trying to get some empathy here for his client. Is it working?
Not really. I mean, that doesn't excuse bad behavior.
He plays this card of, oh, well, he needed to fit in somewhere. He had a lot of questions. He didn't, you know, he couldn't find happiness. And so Adam Woffen brought him in. It's not really his fault.
Has he denounced his hate? Has he changed his rhetoric?
No. Before he was arrested, Sam Woodward did send a message off to his buddies over at Adam Woffen, and he just wanted to let them know that he loved them.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think he's feeling any regret here, except for the fact that he got caught.
Oh, okay. Well, then screw him. Anyways, he got caught because he's a total moron. I mean, there's such a paper trail leading to this crime every single step of the way showing that he did this. I mean, if he really was proud of his whatever, why didn't he just admit to it? He's not even proud enough. He's like, no, I didn't do this. I'm not guilty. What?
Well, I think it's standard procedure too, just to say you're not guilty. He's a coward. He's not going to give it. Yeah, no, it's like, I believe all this stuff, but then I'm not going to back it up.
Moving on.
Munoz tried. What are we supposed to say? I mean, that's his job, right? He's defending the indefensible here.
This is true.
Does he even want to be defended? That's a real question.
I'm sure that at some point in the future, we might see this guy represent himself and espouse his stuff, because when you can put yourself on the stand, you can martyr yourself. You can talk about how oppressed you are because you didn't have a girlfriend, whatever it is. It's sad because I hope his defense attorney doesn't put him on the stand, because I don't want to hear what he has to say. It's just going to give him a platform.
This is weird that, you know, here's his moment. He can plead. And instead of espousing whatever he believes in, he's saying not guilty, you know, when it comes time to talk about it in the public. Yeah. Because this group is hiding in the internet. They're not out in people's faces. And maybe it's because they are small. Maybe it's because they just started in 2015 and they're still finding their way. I don't know. But after they add this new enhancement charge to the murder charge, he has to plead again. And he just says, not guilty. Blaze's parents were asked, how come you're not, you know, showing up to court and following this case? Blaze's mother, Jean, said, nothing good will come of that. You know, this is court stuff. This is the justice system. We're focused on our son. We're focused on doing good.
She's absolutely right.
Don't give power to these people.
No.
Don't give them the attention.
And okay, so they're in court and maybe this idiot berates them or says something to them or smiles at them. You know, they just have to hear this defense attorney and the way he's going to try to mitigate and justify this whole scenario. You know, he's doing his job, but what are the parents going to gain from this? It's like me telling other podcasters, like, don't go read your reviews. You're not going to gain anything from a 1-star review. And they're not going to. They're going to continue with their movement, continue with Blaze It Forward, which has a lot more members and spreads a lot more love and makes more of an impact on this world than this other group ever will.
Now, she does say she would like to see Sam locked up because he's obviously a danger to society, but that's it. I mean, she's not out there calling for his death, which I know was something they were thinking about doing. They were thinking about bringing the death penalty, but they can't.
That's because the hate crime laws do not include sexual orientation. Now, I would just assume that they could apply the law based on the anti-Semitism and Blaze being Jewish, but I guess the angle they're going for is the fact that he was gay, and I guess Samuel has made enough comments or remarks that that's a sure bet for them. But the law doesn't have sexual orientation included, so therefore they're struggling with applying this hate crime law, this enhancement.
A state senator did attempt to try and get a death penalty put on the table as an option in cases like this, if they were killed because of their sexual orientation or their gender, but it failed in the Senate's Public Safety Committee, and they voted 5-2 against that proposal. You know, I don't know if this is because they just really don't want death penalty cases. Maybe it's just they're not into the death penalty. I don't know. But you would think that it being California, anything that would provide more protections, as they would see it, for people who are in a protected class, that they would want that. But again, it's the death penalty, and that is something that seems to be not as popular there in California. That would be my guess. I think it's because you say death penalty, and they say, no, thank you.
I think life in prison is a far more severe punishment because you're not going anywhere. That's your life now. That's all he has to look forward to. But it hasn't gotten that far in the court system yet. So we have to wait.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, passes the savings on to you, and Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. How can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
Well, before we finish, I do want to reiterate the mission of Blaze's parents is to spread positivity. And you already talked about how we know for a fact there are people who have gotten out of neo-Nazism because they did feel love. Love is so powerful, and I don't think we give it enough credit, but sometimes it's just having someone come over to you and say, hey, I wanted to check and see how you're doing. Another moment, it's in a movie, Silence of the Lambs, when Buffalo Bill has that woman trapped in that pit and she starts trying to talk to him because if he starts to realize that she's a real person, he can't victimize her like he wants to. And it's because we get in these mindsets, these hateful mindsets where we have this tunnel vision, but love can open that up. So not to be all hippie, but it really can be that simple. We just don't try it enough. It's interesting that a case like this, where the parents have chosen something very honorable and something that leaves a very good lasting legacy, a tribute to their son, who was remembered so well and will continue to be so because Blaze It Forward. If you'd like to learn more about Blaze Bernstein, go out to blazebernstein.org. That's BLAZEBERNSTEIN.org. You know, it's one thing for people to say, oh, he was creative. He was a scientist. I mean, that's another thing they talked about was his ability to use his left and right parts of his brain together. Just go to the website and go check it out. I mean, he wrote, he cooked. This isn't just a flippant like, oh, he lit up a room. No, check out the website. There's a lot to this guy. He was going to be somebody even greater as he went on, and yet some short-sighted, angry person decided to end his life.
I don't want to be cheesy, but what did Obi-Wan Kenobi say? If you strike me down, I will only grow stronger. That's what these hate groups don't get. The response to their actions only makes the rest of us grow stronger against them.
So now that you've heard the episode, if you feel like blazing it forward and spreading some positivity, please do it. Go out on Twitter. That's a good place to try and spread some cheer, and maybe even hashtag it, blaze it forward, and try to spread some positivity. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.